A beacon shining in the night, faster than a bolt of light, cloaked but hiding in plain sight.
Their mission, to help the Green Arrow fight the darkness, corruption, and bring hope.
We are strong.
We are many.
We are the Arrow Squad.
Hi, this is Stephen Amell.
Hi, I'm Juliana Harkavy, and you're listening to Arrow Squad with Tammy the Chameleon and my favorite, Martin the Flash.
And listen to this, or my fiction or alter ego will hunt you down. Enjoy.
Oh, Cammy, I'm going to ride off into the sunset with her final words to me.
I will be happy to see that. Hopefully set the same as Oliver and Felicity driving off into the sunset in season 4 or 5, was it?
I can picture that. Thank you for that imagery.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Welcome, Arrow Squad. We are here early on a Saturday morning to bring you a very special finale, I guess finale preview episode, where we are going to be talking about Arrow and the Squad, what it has meant to us and all of you.
Yeah, we're going to be going through some high-level ratings and overall impressions. We're going to pick some specific favorite moments from the entire 8 seasons, which is crazy hard to do. And most importantly, we're going to be going through your, I guess we'll say, kind of final transmissions. Of course, we're going to have some feedback to talk through for the actual finale episode. But These are our Arrow Squad members' final thoughts on what Arrow meant to them, what their favorite moments were, what their final thoughts are coming out of this. I am so excited to dive into this, Flash.
So am I. And I'm excited and I'm ready. I do have a box of Kleenex beside me here because I know the tears are going to be coming. And we wanted to do this because the finale episode is coming, and we wanted to be able to still talk about the finale as its own episode. And knowing how emotional that is going to be, we thought separating this out, giving everyone a chance to say farewell in a very special moment on this episode, would be a good idea. And we're closing the show down. We're closing all of this down. So yeah, let's put it out there, Cammy. Let's get these emotions flowing, because boy.
And to start us all off, we're going to go into our ratings and overall impressions of all of Arrow's 8 seasons. And Flash, I would love for you to kick this off, because I think this is going to be so difficult.
Yeah, it is. And this is really just to kind of place the seasons in kind of like a ranking almost as to where we felt they did the best and what really affected us the most. And some of it was tough, but for me, there's one choice that was not tough, and that is season 2. It still stands out as the single best season of Arrow and one of the best seasons of comic book TV ever aired. There's something magical about that season with Slade Wilson and the whole battle with him and Oliver and the history and the tragic things that happened during that season. It's just such powerful writing, and Arrow was definitely at its peak. And I think it's from that moment, how successful that season was, is where the CW realized, hey, maybe we could do other TV shows like this. And because I tip my hat to Flash for season 1 being just as good. The emotions in that season of Flash were unbelievable. There's hardly any TV like it. So these two alone. Season 2, and I'm going to go back and rewatch that season again, because, yeah. Now, after that one, I really like season 5 with Prometheus, because it brought back so much of the drama and that one-on-one confrontation with Oliver and Prometheus that I was just talking about in season 2, and it made it such a good season, and just that inner battle and Prometheus trying to teach Oliver something. Even though he's the villain, he's actually opening Oliver's eyes to some things. And it just, again, it brought back such amazing emotion for Oliver as a character, and not this whole global missiles bombing cities and all that kind of stuff. Arrow was always its best when at the heart of it was centered around Oliver and his city. So I like that one. And then I think after that, season 1, of course, it started the whole thing. It hooked us for the ride, for this long 8-season ride. If it wasn't for season 1, we would be nowhere today. So definitely season 1 is up there. Season 7 comes after that, I think. It just had season 7 had this feeling of everything is going to come to an end soon. And it made it very emotional, especially those last couple episodes. And we're going to be talking about some of those moments later here. It really started wrapping things up. And I haven't got so emotional over a TV show in a long time. So season 7 is definitely near the top. Now, after that, we start to get in the seasons we didn't really, at least me personally. Season 6 was okay, but it was kind of a mixed bag. It had some really great moments and it had some really shaky moments. And there were just some parts of it that dragged it down a little bit. Before that, though, season 3 with Damien Dark, I think was when Arrow started losing its way a little bit. When they introduced magic, it didn't fit. It didn't work on Arrow. You can't take a grounded, as realistic as possible superhero show and then insert magic in it and have Oliver try to fight that. It just didn't work. It didn't make sense. As much as I love Damien Dark as the character and I love the actor portraying him, he didn't work as the main villain for that season. Now let's end this with season 4. It was really almost the undoing of all of Arrow. There was some really bad stuff they did in that season. Let's just please all forget that one Olicity episode that everybody choked and gagged on. And it's genuinely hailed as the worst episode of all of Arrow. We need to forget that stuff.
I think you're talking about the anti-Olicity episode. Yeah. Very,
exactly.
It was not positive for Olicity.
No. So there you go. That's my season running order. I go season 2, season 5, season 1, season 7, season 6, 3, and 4. That's my top to bottom.
Oh, that was a wild ride. I feel like I was just whipped through 8 years of Arrow all at once. That was so fun to hear your ratings, Flash.
Oh, I could have gone into so much more detail too, but you know, trying to keep it a little bit short here. But I am so curious about your season ratings. What kind of order you put them in?
Well, I'm going to whip us through 8 years of Arrow just the same. I'm going to go as fast as possible as well and try not to get hung up in the details because we do have our favorite moments coming and I'm excited to hear about those.
Right.
But I will tell you, while of course our rankings are different, you know, hero, villain, we can't match exactly. Mm-hmm. Our rationale is actually quite similar. And I found it interesting, you know, you have season 2 ranked very high. I also have season 2 ranked very high. Do you remember at the end of season 1 when Arrow actually released the sort of summary episode to tie into season 2? It was like 20, 30 minutes.
I think so. It was kind of like a recap to catch everybody up in case they're new to the show coming in season 2. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Because there was this huge influx of viewers going into season 2 because the show changed pretty substantially between season 1 first half and season 1 second half. And I actually quit watching after about the first half of season 1.
Oh, no.
Because I thought, you know, the episodes that I cared about, the characters that I cared about, it didn't seem to be the direction that the show was going. So I actually stopped right before it got really good in season 1. And then they released that summary episode and I realized they did something that I had never really seen shows do before, which was course correct so hard that they were okay with you just watching the summary of season 1 and joining the party in season 2. And I loved it. I loved season 2 right along with you. And I think season 2 and season 5 had some of the highest highs and some of the lowest lows. But because of those highest highs, those two are tied for favorites for me. And I think it really was the villains that made it. Season 2, you mentioned there was Slade. Season 5, we had Prometheus. And both of those were such excellent villains for Arrow's DNA, I suppose, that the two are tied for me, which is not to say they were flawless seasons. Following that, we have season 3 kind of tied a bit with season 6. Both of those followed really strong seasons and had a lot kind of carrying with them. But season 6, you know, it struggled with a terrible villain, frankly. And season 3 really was Arrow still kind of finding itself and getting ready to go a wrong path. You mentioned season 4. We had it kind of straying from
not just its Arrowverse origins, but its comic origins as well. Season four, it lost its tie to the romance and the intrigue and the melodrama of comic books. It was trying to, you know, break up everything for Oliver. He was estranged from most of his family. He lost all his romance with Felicity. You know, you mentioned that anti-Elicity episode where it was all crying and breaking up, and we hated it, right?
Yep.
It lost that heroism and fantasy that we want out of this show, where everything is kind of hyper-real. And that hyper-realness, we see it strong at the end of season one. We see it strong in high moments in season two, and we see it strong in season five. And that's why those kind of top it for me. And it's just kind of hanging in there through seven and eight, where we get these glimpses into what it could be, but it's a little bit too far down the line. And there's so much baggage to where they aren't really standalone stories as much as they are follow-ups and wrap-ups to stories that never quite got their end. Season eight doesn't really stand alone as a full Arrow season. And season seven is kind of broken in half into two mini seasons of its own. And they really are just wrapping up what was already started and maybe not quite finished correctly. So they're not quite as high in my book. And it sounds like you were kind of the same, right?
Yeah. You know, I didn't even include season eight in my rankings because we're in the midst of it right now. And it is a bit of a different season. It started off, like, I love the first six episodes because he's walking around every episode saying goodbye to all these old characters like Anatoly and, you know, what was the guy's name? Shadow's father on Lian Yu.
Yao Feng.
And so I'm enjoying those, but then it took a huge turn by diving into the crisis stuff, and we haven't felt like we've gotten back to Arrow yet, which is what they have to do in our big finale episode. So I just didn't include that yet. And I understand what you're saying about season seven being a bit of a mix. I just enjoyed the finality of the feeling that it was giving us, that everything is coming to an end. It was supposed to end this season, and they wrote it like it was going to end, and then they decided, no, let's bring Oliver back for one more shortened season. So a lot of people are saying online that season seven for them is the ending of Arrow, and I can understand that.
Absolutely. And I think season seven, its strength, its high point was the ending.
Yeah.
And that's why I think you and I are kind of comfortable recording this finale episode before the actual season eight finale, because I know to us, there has already been some significant goodbyes to Arrow that we can kind of feel and think through for this episode.
Yes, and some of those we're going to revisit tonight as well.
Absolutely. You may actually have some of them in your favorite moments.
Yeah, shall we get into that? Because what I wanted to add for this special episode was some of our favorite moments over the entire course of the Arrow season. And I know that's a daunting task to try to remember all eight seasons, but there are some big moments. And maybe it's not so much favorite moments, but some of the ones that are the biggest moments that have happened on Arrow. And I thought it'd be fun to talk about a couple of those and maybe play the odd clip here and there if we have some.
Yeah, I would love that.
Okay. All right. So as I was saying, some of the bigger moments for me, just trying to think back and trying to remember what was the most impactful, edge of your seat. Holy crap. I can't believe they did that. Right off the bat for me was when Slade killed Moira on Lian Yu in front of Oliver, when Oliver had to make a choice.
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow. That moment was huge and shocking, take your breath away type of feeling. And I'm never going to forget that. And I'm sorry if I've spoiled it for anyone that's never watched season two, but when you get to it.
Spoilers flash, Moira dies.
Yeah, all these years later, come on. So that's one. And then also sticking with season two, the epic finale, when everything is building up to Oliver confronting Slade one final time, and Slade actually gets a hold of Felicity. He's kidnapped her and he's got her, you know, sword to throat and all this. And we had no idea as viewers that there was any plan in place. We thought, oh my God, he's got Felicity. Oliver, can you get to her in time? He's going to kill her. He wants revenge. And then Felicity pulls out her little knife and stabs him in the leg or wherever she stabs him. Her and Oliver had a plan all along to trick Slade, and that was like the pull your hair out of your head. Oh my God, what? And it was one of the most amazing moments because nobody saw it coming. They fooled everybody that they had a plan in place, and I loved that moment too.
Did you know she actually gives Manu Bennett a black eye in one of those takes?
Oh, really? No, I didn't.
He recently said that in an interview. He was so impressed with her fighting strength. He wasn't actually prepared for her to be able to, you know, kind of pretty aggressively reach back and clock him. And so he wasn't defensive enough. And she actually gave him a black eye on accident.
And he probably loved it. That's awesome. So awesome. Now, another moment for me was, you guys all know that I love Roy, and when they introduced Roy, remember, he was a troubled street kid and he was into drugs and the fight scene, but he was running around trying to help people in his own way at the same time as kind of stealing and doing things. And then when Oliver came to his rescue the one time, he looked at Oliver with this adoration. And this, like, it was like that there's the shining mentor with like this halo of light around him that I've been needing something to latch onto, to, you know, abide by and to follow. And so he suddenly started, you know, just all of Roy's growth and trying to emulate Oliver. And then Oliver came after him and said, "Hey man, like, if you're going to do this, do it properly." And he brought him on as a full on student, as his sidekick. And he gave him his red suit. And I loved all of that. I loved that moment when Roy first got to put on his red suit. You know, you could just see the pride, that the beaming smile that he had. And, you know, you can see it in his eyes through the mask. It was so much fun. I just love moments like that. Another one.
I was just going to echo your adoration of the Roy moments. I think for me, watching those back now, it's even more meaningful because my journey to kind of appreciating Roy didn't really come to a conclusion until he returned. And I realized, oh, this is, you know, he's been a cut above several of the other team members all along, and I never really realized. So now those scenes are more meaningful, knowing the loyalty and sacrifices he went through for the Queens and why it's so important that he was actually the first and one of the most important characters to pick up Oliver's mantle as the Green Arrow for a short time.
Exactly. I love what you just said there. One of the first to pick up the mantle. And I just appreciated Roy so much because he was so loyal right off the bat. Like, whatever he could do to help Oliver, he was willing to do. I mean, he sacrificed himself. He put his life on the line. He took the fall for Oliver. You don't get loyalty like that every day from just anybody. So yeah, that's what really attached me to him. Now, if you remember a recent season, I can't remember if this was was this the Prometheus season or was this the next season? There was one scene when Oliver and Felicity were trying to escape. They were in like tunnels and stuff like that. And they ended up getting into an elevator hatch and had to climb up, and Oliver was hurt and Felicity's legs weren't working or something.
Yes. Underworld. Her chip stops working and she goes back to being paralyzed.
Yes. And he's crawling up the elevator shaft and they're barely hanging on, and he just has this heroic moment where he swings her up into safety and he's barely hanging on. It's just the music and the ramp up and the, like, my palms were sweating. It was one of those one of those heroic moments that just truly defined Oliver is a hero. He doesn't need to have superpowers. He just, by the feat of his own humanity and strengths, and like, he pushed himself to the limit to make sure she was safe. And it, again, take your breath away. It was such a cool scene.
I just got chills thinking about it again. It's in season 6. And yes, I can see so vividly the details. And Martin, when you and I first covered that episode, I remember, I think both of us were selecting that as our favorite moment.
Right. Yeah, definitely. It deserved it. I mean, it's one of the best. And these are the kind of things that I'm remembering. And so to go a little farther back then, all the way back to season 2, I think it was, they gave us one of the biggest mysteries back then when they sh- they shot Sarah on the rooftop and she fell to her death. The original first time that she died, we didn't know who did it. And that was like the big mystery they left us hanging on, who killed Sarah. And when they finally revealed that it was Thea and she was under the influence of some kind of drug and she had no idea, wow, that was a slap across the face reveal. And we don't get very many moments like that on any TV show, but can you remember that one?
I do. And, you know, I think they kind of tried to replicate that level of mystery in subsequent seasons and never quite got it that strong as the Sarah death one. And, you know, obviously they took back Sarah's death and fixed it. And, you know, I've got some pros and cons on that. But just that mystery, I think that was because it was the first, perhaps the best done mystery on Arrow.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. One of, at least for sure. Now, I'm going to skip one here. Now, going to another death sequence. This one affected me because she had been a character all the way through Arrow, even though her story had changed a few times. But the original Laurel, when she got stabbed by Damien Dark in the prison, and I mean, that moment itself was like, oh, what? No, he can't do that. And then she later is in the hospital, barely hanging on, and she has her final moments with Oliver, and she's telling him how she really feels and all. I mean, that it was a powerful moment. Yeah, they went beyond that and built her a statue, and they had a little, you know, ceremony for and all that. But I'm particularly talking about the scene where she first gets stabbed and then her dying moments with Oliver in the hospital. That was also very powerful for me because we were losing one of our main characters that had been with us for, was it 4 seasons at that point? 3 seasons at that point?
Yeah, it was a pretty significant move because it was moving away from the character that we had all originally thought was going to be the Black Canary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Now, one I'm going to pull out recently, not everybody is a fan of Dinah, and you guys all know that I absolutely do adore her. One of the things
you like that... Dinah? Are you a fan?
Just a wee bit. But one of the things they did with her character right in the beginning that I do pull on as one of the best moments for this show is when they showed how she got her canary cry powers. I just thought it was very, very cool how they did that when she was strapped to a chair opposite her undercover partner and, you know, partner in life as they're being tortured by the bad guys that they were trying to track down and trying to break. And the antimatter wave from Central City hits, you know, when Star Labs blows up, and they tie that into Flash, and it kind of brings the whole universe, the whole Arrowverse together in this moment. And she's yelling as they're killing her partner. She's screaming, no, just as the wave hits. And that translates to her getting her canary cry. I loved how they explained that back in those days, that whatever it was you were doing at the moment the antimatter wave hits you translates into the type of power you get. And I just thought they did it so well with her because it was a gripping moment. It was tense. It was terrifying because these two characters that were just meeting, you see the situation they're in and you put yourself in their shoes. Like, you're strapped to a chair being tortured by the very bad guys that you're trying to track down. You know you're going to die. It's a scary moment. It was just so well done, so well put together and directed. And it gave us how she got her canary cry, which we don't often get to see an origin story like that for a lot of these powered superheroes. How did they get their powers? You don't often see it so well put together like that.
Yeah. And I think going into it, Dinah was put in such a position of a struggle where all of the other, you know, kind of canary setups that we see with the Lance sisters, they were able to kind of do it slowly over time and find their bearing. Whereas with Dinah, it had to be quick and they really had to sell it because she was at that point the 4th or 5th canary or whatever that we were getting. So she had to earn it fast and more than anybody else to be believable. And it wasn't just the antimatter wave. Her effort in being able to sell that she is a meta on a show that doesn't normally have metas and a canary on a show that's already given us multiple canaries, all the cards were stacked against her. And she really put in effort to make that work. And I know the writers were, you know, probably quite concerned about whether that would sell, but they did their best with her.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I got one more thing I'm going to talk about, and then we'll let you go into some of your favorite clips. One of the things for me, the most lasting, lingering emotions, is very recent, and that was the season 7 finale. The way they were wrapping that up, and it culminates in that beautiful moment with Oliver having to say goodbye to Felicity, and she's begging him, why does it have to be you? Why do you always have to be the one to save the city, the world, the universe? And he's like, I have to, I made the promise and I need you to keep everybody safe. At just that moment, I was crying for like the last 20 minutes of that episode. I was crying. Then it got to that part. I have never had tears stream down my face to a TV show like that. It really, really got to me, because now we're at 7 years of these two characters building this bond with each other. And it's going to be one of the things that lasts with me for many years to come.
Oh, Flash, I am right there with you. That was such a poignant moment and so important to the series, because you and I have talked a lot about how for superheroes, their world is their city. That is the universe that we're creating for that story. And for Oliver specifically, it's the Queen family. And by that point, the Queen family is Felicity, no pun intended. So having him be willing to give her up for the sake of the greater city and for the sake of saving her and his family, that is so huge. It's the most sacrificial moment, and it really tops the sacrificial moments that we see later in the crossover, quite frankly, because those moments are where he is saving his city and family.
Yeah, Cammie, I think you just added the perfect words to what I already said. I'm already feeling the feels. And I think while we're on this moment, while it's right there, we're on the edge, we're all at that exact scene that I'm talking about, I'm going to play a clip for it.
I don't want to know who we are without each other. It's just too hard. I don't want to leave here without you.
This is why we can't have a normal life. This is why our children will never have normal lives.
I have to make the deal.
Well, there's always going to be some danger or some threat. The League of Assassins or a Hive or the Ninth Circle or
the end of the freaking universe.
I need you to make me a promise. No matter what happens to me, no matter what, you need to do everything in your power so you keep William and Mia safe.
I will keep them safe. But wherever you go, whatever happens to you, you'll never leave me. You told me that I was the best part of you, but the truth is, we are the best parts of each other. And that is so much bigger than the freaking universe.
When I came back to Star City to start my mission, I didn't think that I was capable or deserving of love. You opened up my heart in ways that I never thought were possible. My only regret is not telling you I loved you sooner.
No regrets.
Would you tell me that I love her every day? I know that she will grow up to be as smart and as beautiful as she will.
I will find you. Again. I promise.
Without you.
Where I'm taking you, there is no return.
I have waited a very long time to see him. I'm ready.
I don't know about you, but I'm crying over here.
You've got the tears coming for us this early on. I may have had to use a tissue there for a second. And the song, that is, it's probably what ties those two scenes so well together, seeing everything that he had to give up and how even so many years later, her feelings are just as strong and they're still trying to cross the universe to get back to each other.
Yep. So I apologize if that made some people get watery eyes, but I definitely, they streamed down my cheeks here. I had to hit mute so I could grab a tissue. And that's the power of that scene. That's what I'm talking about. And we've got more like that to come, but hope you guys are feeling what we're feeling here. Cammy, it is your turn to go through some of your favorite scenes now.
Oh, goodness. I don't know how I can top that, but here we go. So I found, going through all of my past favorites, that I kind of was able to get it down to a top three in terms of wrap-up finale moments.
Okay.
And one that has consistently come up, I think maybe three or four times on this podcast now, as my favorite moment, was Felicity's speech to William about Oliver's heroism. Now, I know, Martin, you are a bit of a cinematography nerd. You know quite a lot about it. And I love what you've had to say in the past about this scene, the visuals and how it's cut and the audio, to where they're able to maintain this really intense, extremely brutal fight scene with the entire team, while also having this touchy-feely moment where Felicity explains the entire concept of the Green Arrow heroism to the Green Arrow's son, and she is simultaneously directing said brutal mission. It perfectly captures Arrow's balance between very brutal, violent moments and grittiness, and also poignant emotion. And that scene, I think, has taken favorite or top for me more than any other scene on Arrow in terms of frequency on this podcast.
Yeah, I don't even know what else I could add to that, Cammy. It was so brilliantly put together. And this is William really getting to finally understand what his father is all about. Because in those moments when he was that young, he was always worried for his dad. What's going to happen to him? Is my dad going to come back? Am I going to lose him because he's going out there fighting all these bad guys? Felicity had to calm him down and show him, you don't have to worry. Your dad can kick some ass. And watch this. You will see, and you will come to understand why he does what he does. It just was such a beautiful moment. And if you like, Cammy, I can play that clip for you right now.
Sure, let's do it.
Is Dad going to be okay?
Yeah, he's going to be fine. I know you're not all that happy with your dad right now, but this is what he does best, and nobody does it better.
But everybody makes mistakes. Things go wrong. You can't plan for everything.
Yeah, you're right. What your dad does, it's very dangerous. And heroes don't always make it home. I never forget that. But, you know, I've loved your dad from the first time he brought me a bullet-riddled computer. Remind me to tell you about that one. That was a long time ago, which means I've loved him for a long time, which means I worried about him for a long time. And he hasn't always been truthful. He's lied. He's kept secrets. He's not perfect. His life, it's not ideal. But he makes his sacrifices, so we have to make ours. I sometimes think to myself that that's what makes this love deeper than other kinds of love. You know, it sounds cheesy, but...
It does, because we can't take things for granted. We have to live with the fear and the uncertainty that everything can be taken from us in an instant.
Traitor! I'm taking you to hell with...
Because that's the price we pay for choosing the people that we love. Everything he does for a good reason. Or what he thinks is a good reason. So you can worry about your dad, but you have to believe that he's going to be okay. Because that's the only way that this works. Okay? Okay. Now watch. After he takes these two down, he's gonna spin, disarm him, kick. He's probably gonna use the arrow right here. Oh, you probably should not have been allowed to watch that. That's definitely in Parenting 101.
Good work.
Doesn't change anything, Hoss.
He's pretty
amazing, yeah.
Well, I was gonna say badass.
Badass.
That is Arrow in a nutshell. Thank you for playing that, Slash.
It's Arrow in one of its finest moments. That was, as we both said, just so perfectly put together. And it also sunk in how much the show is missing Felicity. There is an element that she brings that none of the other characters bring to that show, and you really felt it in that clip.
Absolutely. We definitely miss our Canadian princess on this show.
Now, I know you got a couple other spots that you were wanting to talk about, Oliver and Prometheus in one scene.
Yeah, also from season 6, there's a moment where Oliver was on Vertigo and he had to find reality. He has Prometheus on one side of him, kind of behind him, and Prometheus is a vision because of the drug, and he has Felicity in front of him, and Felicity's not a vision, but he doesn't know that. And while in the throes of this drug, he has mistaken reality and fever-induced drug visions several times. He thinks Reza's been stabbed. He thinks his family's in danger. And he's about to walk into a pretty significant trap that would be ruining his entire legacy, right?
Yeah.
And in that moment, they have a unique audio clip. They have a soundtrack composed directly for it, entitled Convince Him. And in that, Felicity has to convince him what is real and what is not real. And we've talked several times about how this Oliver's journey is frequently about from death to life and back to death and back to life. And in this, Felicity is talking him back to life as her sort of namesake character, Death from the Sandman comics, does. She is supposed to be a character where, and this is what her flashback version is dressed up as, a character from the comics who can bridge between the worlds of death and life and take people through it. And that's what she's done for Oliver this entire time. But in this scene, it's one of the most tangible examples. And again, we get fantastic acting from Oliver. We get the return of one of the best villains this show has seen, Prometheus. And we see him very quickly crossing between death to life in a way that we don't see as tangibly outside of his leaving the island. So I love that scene.
Now, how convenient is it that a lot of your favorite scenes are from the recent seasons that you and me have been running this show? I happen to have these clips, whereas a lot of mine were so old, we weren't hosting Arrow Squad yet, so I don't have sound clips prepared for them, but I have this little scene for you right here.
Well, what happens to me?
You left.
No, I didn't. That was not me, Oliver. The real me is standing right here, and I'm not going anywhere. I'm glue, baby. Please.
Where are you?
The vertigo, it's making its way through your system, okay? It's on its last gasp, so just listen. Listen to my voice.
No, don't.
yourself. You were never supposed to have partners.
I know it feels like you've lost everything.
I don't know how to tell if you're real.
It's the vertigo. It's just messing with your head. Don't trust it. Okay, listen to your heart.
Wonderful stuff right there. Wonderful stuff.
It is such a beautiful scene. It's such a dark scene. It's a very riveting scene. And I think it parallels so many larger legs of Oliver's journey that he's been on. So I just loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have another final moment, but what do you say we save that one till the end? Because it's one of the farewell moments.
Sure. Yes. Sounds like a good idea. We do have a couple more that we'll be throwing at you guys in there. A lot of them are these farewell moments that the team is saying goodbye. They're saying goodbye to each other. And we want to kind of culminate those together. But we got lots of transmissions too for people.
Absolutely.
And I think it's time we start hearing what our fans have to say about Arrow and Arrow Squad.
Yes, absolutely. I'm so excited to get into these, Flash.
Let's do it. All right. Well, I figured we should kick it off with an email from our friend Erin. She has been with us for almost our entire journey on this podcast, and she did get an email in to us that we can read in full, because as she jokes at the end of it, this may be her shortest one she's ever sent us, which is kind of funny. So Cammy, let's kick it off with Erin. Give her that honor to start our journey here, saying goodbye.
The honor is all mine. She writes in to say, "Dear Cammy and Martin, we didn't have a lot of time together in the grand scheme of Arrow, but what we shared, I loved. The hero versus villain theme you two came up with when you first started together made the comic fan in me smile when you tease each other about being in each camp. Cammy, your sass doesn't disappoint. And the salty Cammy persona moments just made me smile and laugh also. The positivity you brought each week, Martin, felt like the warmth of the lightning bolt hero your namesake is after."
Aww.
"And I'm not one to say Barry gives me warm fuzzies just from the heat of his powers." "And I'll never forget your swooning for Dinah either." "I love how each week you two tried to see both sides of fan debates over plots, but also weren't afraid to say sometimes an episode was just a con more than a pro. I get wanting to put out a positive podcast, but I dislike when hosts act as if every episode is pure perfection when it's not. You embraced the down moments and didn't dismiss them. And I love that from you, as it made the show feel very real. I appreciate how you took time out of episodes to read my blog post comments, as you really didn't have to do that. You always had me excited for the podcast each week, and like the week wasn't complete unless I listened to your recap. Even if the episode itself was bad, I knew you two would make me smile about something during the podcast. Be it again, via something salty Cammy had to get off her chest, or the excitement Flash had for how a plot could turn out well. Thanks so much for your hard work. I will admit that selfishly, I hope you two find a series you both like again and want to podcast together on, so fans can continue to enjoy your duo. But if this is our moment in time, as it were, thanks for making it such a blast. Cammy, I know you have after shows on YouTube, and I'm going to go ahead and make the assumption there will be a Pearson or other show after show, because Jessica is your love, and Martin, you have Cybercast. But again, selfishly, I want you together for something again, because I'm not ready to say goodbye to the duo. I do wish you two luck in your independent projects also. I just realized this is probably the shortest message I've ever sent to either of you, but it's just a short and simple fact that I will miss you, and I thank you. Sincerely, Erin."
Oh, man, I'm not going to get through this without crying. Holy cow.
I mentioned somewhat tearing up earlier on some of the clips, but that one actually had an actual tear coming out. Sorry if I was kind of choked up reading that.
But that's okay. Aaron, we just can't thank you enough. And just from the bottom of my heart, I love that you appreciate what we brought to the show. When me and Cammy first took on the responsibilities of Arrow Squad, we wanted to keep it the same, but also make it our own and bring our touches to it and hopefully bring the fandom in even more strongly. And you've been with us almost the entire journey. And I just love that you touch on the things that we did to keep the show strong and hopefully improve it. So I just really appreciate you highlighting that for us here. It really means a lot. And, you know, me and Cammy are talking behind the scenes. We're trying to figure something out that we can continue working together. We'll see, but totally love everything that you said, Aaron, and we love you for that.
Yes. The show would not have been the same without you. And I looked forward to getting the honor of going through your blog posts every week. And you would always send me updates on new news on the shows that I cared about. And there was a time during this where I was so, so busy outside of the show. I couldn't even keep track of all of the news or even respond to emails half the time. And Aaron was so generous about, you know, always keeping me up to date. And she's responsible not just for the blog post that you hear me read, but she was also responsible for many of the news points you would hear at the top of the show, keeping us up to date and taking the time out to do that. And she created such a safe space for me to work here, and it was wonderful.
Yeah. And I mean, she even personally sent me emails when she just would think of something exciting. Oh my God, Martin, did you see that on Legends? What does that mean? And she'd send me an equally long email all about Legends. And I have to apologize, Aaron. I was not always good at getting back to you because I want to respond. And, you know, with my duties with the podcast or whatever, I've got to find the time to do the personal responses a little bit quicker. So hopefully we can continue to stay in touch after all this is done.
Absolutely.
All right. Next, we're moving on to a voicemail from our longtime friend of Arrow. She's been there with me from the very beginning, one of the originals as well, and now I co-host with her on the Tomorrow's Legend podcast. It is Jess, a.k.a. Harley Quinn.
Hello, Arrow Squad. This is Harley Quinn, and I thought I would take a few moments to record my thoughts on Arrow and Arrow Squad and overall what this whole community has meant to me. So I will say I've been with Arrow from the very, very beginning. Ever since the first time I saw that it was coming to the CW, I was all in. I have loved the show from the beginning. I can honestly say I have watched it from day one, and I just can't believe it's coming to an end. It's the end of an era for me. I mean, this is what started it all. It started it all for everybody. I mean, all of us are all fans of these shows. It is the Arrowverse after all. You know, it started The Flash. It started Legends. It spawned my podcasting career. I owe a lot to this show, and I owe a lot to this community as well. I mean, without Arrow Squad, I never would have met Martin, The Flash. I never would have met many people that today I consider very good friends. I know we may not see each other and we may not hang out in the traditional sense, but I definitely consider many, many of you very close friends of mine. Whether or not we talk every day or not, it doesn't even matter. I get to hear your voices and your thoughts all of the time. And I'm just really grateful for the community that Brian and Kevin were able to build here, and that everyone has really continued, and that, you know, Martin and Cammy, that you all have continued to foster. I think it's truly amazing what has kind of come out of this podcast and all of the different things, you know, when you think about it, all of the other podcasts and all of, you know, little tangent communities that it's all kind of created. So I'm really going to miss it. I'm going to miss hearing the two of you talk about the show. I mean, I'm going to miss the show. I'm going to miss all the actors, although I'm sure I will follow them on to the other things that they do. So we've still got The Flash and Legends, and we've got Batwoman coming. And I mean, there's still a lot to be excited about. So we'll just have to see where it continues to go. So thanks again, guys, for all of your hard work. And until next time, this is Harley Quinn. I'm out.
Aww.
Looking at my heartstrings.
I know. And I will have a lot more to say in regards to her towards the end here when I do my final sign off. But she's right. Arrow has built a community of listeners, of podcasts, of everything. There is so much that Arrow has kicked off, not just the TV show spawning, you know, new shows. The podcast itself has done so much. And yeah, it's going to be tough to let all that go. So we'll have to all figure a way out to stay together.
Yeah, it's really created such a wonderful community. As you may know, and as Martin certainly knows, Jess and I actually, through some strange coincidence, live fairly close by each other. And we got to meet in person at a con and send selfies of us to Martin. And it was just, it's just wonderful getting to actually meet in person when we can meet in person, people involved in this massive network. And you guys know Jess has stepped in and co-hosted on Arrow Squad with us once or twice. And it's just been wonderful.
I love playing with the idea that I'm way up here in Calgary, Canada, over on the west side of the continent, and both of my co-hosts are down on the east side of the United States in Atlanta. And it's like, I'm the hero. They both like to play villains. And how convenient is that they're in the same city and they get to work their devious plans behind the scenes and I can't do anything about it.
Yes, it is. It has been great being Flash's villainesses over here with Jess.
All right. Well, thank you, Jess. I'm glad you could be part of this. I'm going to read the next email. It is from Dad L, and he titles it A Series Retrospective. Hello, Arrow Squad. I watched the pilot on Hulu back in 2012. I did not like the killing. I concluded the show wasn't for me and didn't watch another episode until it was announced that Barry Allen would be appearing in season 2. As a longtime DC fan, I had to see this. I watched The Scientist and Three Ghosts and found Oliver was trying to be the killer he once was. I was hooked. These were fantastic episodes. I watched season 2 from the beginning, then binge-watched season 1. I've watched every episode since. When this show started off as a dark, gritty action drama, no one would ever have guessed the end would see Oliver join forces with the Monitor, become the Spectre, and restart the multiverse. That's just crazy. This show has come so far. Sure, it's had its up and downs, highs and lows, but that just comes with the territory of making a show like this. I believe it is incredibly difficult to write stories episode after episode, season after season, and add in the fact that in the comics, Green Arrow doesn't exactly have the most compelling or well-known villains. In the end, this show hasn't been about the action or the villains. It has been about Oliver's journey. How has he grown? What mistakes did he make? What did he learn from those mistakes? What did he sacrifice? What has he gained? What relationships has he forged? What lives has he changed? This show was Oliver's journey. And wow, what a journey. From a spoiled brat to vigilante to hero to cosmic-powered being. Thank you for enhancing our experience with the podcast. I know it is a lot of work, and I am so grateful. Years ago, Arrow Squad had a contest that I won. My prize was the season 2 Blu-rays. Sometimes I'll just turn on that final fight with Deathstroke and watch in awe. I'm thankful that I'll always have my own little souvenir from the podcast. My name is Dad L. For 7 years, I've been an Arrow fan with one goal: to watch our hero save this city. I couldn't do it alone. I had to join forces to become someone else, something else. I had to become part of the Arrow Squad. Dad L, last father of Krypton.
Well said.
Oh, he's always good at putting, stringing together little things like that. That was actually really fun to read. I hope I put the right inflections on the moments you were trying to get your expression across. I just love it. Fantastic.
I thought that was perfect. And, you know, we have loved reading Dad L's feedback. He always has the right wrap up to every episode.
He does. As you heard. I remember when he first came on, and that, like, I remember all the way back to his first feedbacks, and he said he's Dad L, and we all had such a great kick out of that. That was when we were all just beginning to come up with our own superhero names and what we're going to call ourselves in this podcast community. And he comes in saying Dad L. We love that. That was like the perfect name.
And that was before, you know, Supergirl or anything like that was actually on air. It's a true comic book pool.
Exactly, exactly. Well, Dada, we are glad that you've been with us along this journey as well. It has not just been a journey of the show. It has been a journey of all of us being fans together. And I'm just very thankful that you've been here with us. And thank you for all your support. Mm-hmm. All right. Next up, another longtime friend of the podcast and the TV show. Our friend Jeff Gentry, X-Force 11, has been there from the beginning, like all of us, being a main feedbacker right from the start. Let's see how he would like to say goodbye.
Hello, Arrow Squad. This is Jeff, X-Force 11, leaving my feedback about what Arrow has meant to me. I started watching Arrow at the very beginning, and I started listening to Arrow Squad from the very beginning with the TV talk days. I've not left a whole lot of feedback in the last year or so, simply because of busy times. But I have enjoyed the Arrow run. I have enjoyed, for the most part, what they have done with the character, taking it and making it a little less like Batman and giving him his own spin on things and making him his own character. I lost faith for a little while with the NTA versus OTA manufactured drama, but stuck with it and I'm happy. Arrow kicked off everything and I am grateful to the kickoff on the CW verse of shows that we now have. I've enjoyed the characters. I've enjoyed getting to see the growth in those characters. And I am hopeful that Green Arrow and the Canaries will continue the fine tradition in telling the story in a new way with the Queen family. All right, those are my thoughts. Thank you, Arrow Squad, for being here through all 8 seasons. This is Jeff, X-Force 11, signing off.
And as always, he is like the, I don't even know how to word it. He's like the professor. He's like the, you know, yes, aristocrat of this show. He always comes through so professional and so well-spoken.
Yeah, and I like that he touched on that there were some down moments. He mentioned that awful, you know, civil war crisis between new Team Arrow and old Team Arrow and how he almost dropped out. And, you know, I mentioned earlier at one point in season one, I did drop out and return. And it's nice to see that even with the ups and downs, we made it till the end, right?
Yeah. And he's not wrong. I mean, that I remember you not enjoying those sequences either, with them constantly bickering at each other. I mean, your fandom for Renee was just about non-existent. And,
you know, you mean one of my favorite villains on Arrow, Renee, yeah, Ramirez?
Yeah, exactly. See, so yeah, it's good that he highlights on that stuff. Arrow is not a perfect show by any means, but it is the leader of the Arrowverse, and you know, you have to respect it. You have to understand what it's done for everybody involved, whether it's writers, actors, you know, fans. It's done so much. And I just like that Jeff was able to kind of wrap all of that up and yeah, just kind of be here with us to the very end.
Yeah, absolutely.
Started it and finished it. So thank you, Jeff.
Yeah. And speaking of being here at the very end, we have a piece of feedback from one of our newer feedbackers, Dudu Geisler.
Cool. What's he have to say?
He says, "Hey, Arrow Squad, how are you? First of all, after 8 seasons, I can really say that Arrow is the best TV series of the Arrowverse. And now that I think about it, best TV series for any superhero. Except for season 4 and the first half of season 5, the rest is pure gold. I started to watch Arrow before season 3 had started, and I found myself watching the first 2 incredible seasons almost in a row. That is how awesome the show is for me. The best moment was at season 3, episode 9, when Ra's al Ghul killed Oliver. Oliver's first and certainly not last death. I was shocked at that moment. And I could write a lot about each season and each episode, but just thanks, Arrow, for an amazing show. I hope Green Arrow and the Canaries will be awesome too. Thank you, Martin and Cammy, as well. I started listening to this podcast only on this season, and I very much enjoy it. Thank you, Dudu Geisler."
Oh, well, see, that's, I love, Cammy, that we can still bring in new listeners and they enjoy us enough that they want to stick with us for this final season. I'm glad we got to meet you, Doodoo, in the very end here and yeah, take you along this final journey with us.
Yes. You are now an important member of this family, and I'm so happy you've been here. I've loved reading your emails every week.
Definitely. All right. Well, let's move on to another feedbacker that has been with us for our entire journey. And I believe she was there with Brian and Kevin as well. Her name is Christy. And she says, I thought I would start with how I got introduced to the show. I remember it was the summer before The Flash started, and my dad said, hey, there's going to be a show about a guy who has super speed. We were both intrigued by this and started watching The Flash when it premiered. Then came the first crossover, and in comes this really handsome guy who can wield a bow and arrow. Of course, I had to watch the arrow part of the crossover. That was enough to hook me, even though that was the middle of season 3. Both my dad and I immediately went on Netflix and binge-watched Arrow and quickly caught up. I always really enjoyed archery as a form of combat, so it was really cool to find a gritty show with that focus that also had really good storylines. I love that Arrow provided a show that we could watch together and discuss theories and speculation. There are a few themes that were important to me in Arrow. Friendship. The Oliver and Diggle relationship really illustrated being there for your friends no matter what. I love that this continued throughout the entire show, even though the tough spots and unlikely circumstances. Even through the tough spots and unlikely circumstances. Love. I know the writing wasn't always the greatest, but I enjoyed the Elicity love story. Those two couldn't be any more different from each other, but they made it work and never stopped loving each other, and I hope to find that one day. Aw. Heroism. This one might not have much of an impact on my life, but it was great to have a superhero who didn't have powers. This is kind of hard to explain, but Steven really brought this role to life in a way that always felt real to me, even though it's not real life. Now finally, my experience with Arrow would have been drastically different if I hadn't discovered Arrow Squad. My dad eventually stopped watching Arrow. Season 4 did him in. Boy, that keeps coming around. And most of my friends don't watch superhero shows, so I was thrilled to find people who loved the show as much as I did. Oftentimes, I look forward to the podcast just as much, if not more, than the show. I love all the analysis, Martin's extra helpings of favorite moments, different ratings, salty Cammy moments, and hearing all the feedback from other listeners. It's always great to hear different perspectives and pick up on things I missed. Honestly, you guys are the reason I may actually watch the Canary spinoff after previously thinking I wouldn't watch an Arrow show with Stephen Amell. Or without Stephen Amell, I guess she's saying. Thank you for all the time you and those who have hosted it before put into the podcast each week. And that's from Christy.
I love Christy's organization of concepts. It's always so perfectly laid out. She always breaks things down, whether it be pros or cons, or in this case, themes, or in the case of her crossover feedback, by emotions. And yes, you are right. She has been with us the whole time. She's been with us when it was Brian and Kevin as well. I remember, I think it may have been my first episode ever with them, reading Christy's feedback and being like, that, yes, what she said, exactly how I feel.
Yeah. And I just love her story. This is the personal stuff that I was hoping to get from our fans when she talks about it's the one show she could sit and watch with her dad and enjoy together. And, you know, and then when she lost that, she got to reach out to the Arrow Squad and realize, hey, there's people out there that love the show as much as me. I get to feel part of something now. These are the kind of moments that make all of this so valuable and worth our time and effort to do, is to continue that tradition. And I'm just glad that it meant something to Christy in that sense too.
Thank you, Christy.
Thank you. All right. Next up is a voicemail from our other GSM co-hosts on the network, John and Justina, who now host the Made of Steel podcast for Supergirl. They sent us a message.
Hello, Martin and Cammy, Cammy and Martin, all the listeners of Arrow Squad, among which Justina and I are distinguished to be called. This is John, a.k.a. the Silver Vox, and K-Vox is here with us. And, of course, my partner in crime, the beautiful green butterfly.
Hi, Arrow Squad!
What's going down? Man, you guys are bringing it down to the finale, and Justina and I wanted to come together to say how much we sincerely appreciate all of the effort that has gone into Aero Squad, especially these past few years between you, Martin, and Cammy. We understand the amount of time, dedication, everything that goes into following these shows just as well as you do. And for that, we have to give you our utmost respect, our admiration. And I mean, literally, we kind of mirror Made of Steel based on your format because it works and it's so well done. So for everything you do from the podcast wise, we say thank you.
It has been so great listening to Aero Squad all these years. I mean, I will always be thankful for this show, but more than that, I will be thankful for the friendships that I have formed because of this show. Mm-hmm. You know, honestly, I love Aero, but it's pretty dark for me. Mm-hmm. And I stayed for the people. I stayed for the Aero Squad.
Yeah,
it was the first podcast I ever did, and it was a roundtable for Aero Squad, and so it will always hold a special place in my heart. And TV shows, they're always going to come and go, but I hope that the friendships we have formed here through our superhero TV will last forever.
Absolutely. We're excited that you guys are planning to move on with Green Arrow and the Canaries and to keep the community together. And that's why we do this whole thing of what we do. Arrow to me has, I mean, just like we've always talked about, it's been the flagship. It's been the one that has anchored this entire universe. And, you know, where that goes from here, like we've talked about, it's difficult to see, but I'm so thankful that we have so many years to look back on and to enjoy again and again and again. And yeah, can't wait to see what the future holds. Thank you, Martin. Thank you, Cammy. Thank you to all the Aero Squad listeners. And yeah, we'll see you around the DCverse.
Yes, I am so glad that this is not goodbye when Cammy let us know that you guys are carrying on with the Canaries. I was just so excited to know that you will still be in our DC universe with us, and because we love being your sister show.
Absolutely. All right. For Made of Steel, we are going to sign off. Thank you for everything. Thank you, Aero producers. Thank you to the community of Aero Squad. Thank you for setting the standard for a great television journey. I am John, a.k.a. The Silver Vox.
This is your Eye in the Sky, Green Butterfly. We are strong. We are many. We are Aero Squad forever.
Bye, guys.
Oh, my. I can't take it, Cammy. I can't take it.
Emotional listening to that as well.
Okay, first I'm going to start off with just a fun little joke. I think you and me unknowingly signed our lives away in blood that we are coming back for Canaries no matter what. I can't deny it. I can't say no to all of this heartfelt cheer that we're going to continue. So I just want to get that out of the way. Now,
did you guys hear that? You appealed to the Flash's heroism, and now he can't say no. He's going to be self-sacrificial.
So that yellow suit I was sewing together in the closet is, I can't continue. I can't finish that.
Yeah, that's going to have to stay there a minute.
All right. So two things I really want to address there. First of all, John, I appreciate your more than kind words of the discussion about the podcast, because you know, being a podcast host and the different shows that you've done, you understand the work and the time and the effort it takes to put this together. We don't just come online and start chattering after an episode ends. There is so much effort in there. And I'm the fact that you acknowledge it and appreciate it and respect us for that means a lot to me. And the fact that you said you guys are mirroring Made of Steel after our show because it works, that is that's so amazing. I can't even think of the words to what that, to tell you what that means to me and to us, that, that you appreciate how we do Aero Squad so much so that you want to try to make your guys' show similar to that. It just, it means a lot. It means a lot. So I appreciate that, John. And Justina, Eye in the Sky, Our Green Butterfly. What I have loved about you all these years is your positivity. No matter how down I have gotten about a decision they made or a poor directing or action decision, whatever they did on episode, you always came to us with feedback at the right time to lift my spirits, because you were always so positive. You always pulled something out of an episode that I maybe missed that was enlightening and was a beacon of a glimmering hope that yes, there, this whole episode wasn't so bad. You've always managed to do that. That's what I've appreciated from you. And, you know, like you guys both said, the friendships that we've made because of this show, I'm glad you're both here. And just thank you so much for that. And I wish you guys continued success and good luck on Made of Steel. I am looking to get back into Supergirl. I've just fallen so far behind on it. Other than the crossover episodes, I would like to catch back up to it, because I did care about some of those characters on their show and I want to see where they're at now. So I might catch up to you guys and get back in there, and maybe I can, you know, come guest with you guys sometime. But thank you so much.
I absolutely agree. I want to echo everything Martin said. And Justina, I will say, hearing your feedback for Arrow absolutely changed the way I watched the show. I previously was all about, I want the edgiest moments and I want, you know, all of the things that I think are great to happen quickly. And I had very little patience and was quite insensitive, I think, to the violence of the show. And hearing your positivity and also your sensitivity to the realness of it made it feel more real for me. So I want to thank you for being always so willing to watch a show that was pretty gritty and dark and share how you interpreted it. And your sensitivity, I think, influences how the rest of us view it as well. And John, thank you as well for your leadership in putting together a lot of the crossovers that we've done with the rest of the GSM family.
Yes, yeah.
You've been really instrumental in keeping that a community. And I know how difficult that is. I know how much time that takes, how much effort that takes. And just as you were pointing out, all the time and effort it takes just to podcast on our own podcast and deliver quality content and thoughtful content, I know it takes exponentially more to put together some of those crossovers and take that leadership. So thank you for that as well.
Yes. Yes, ditto to everything you just said, Cammy, for sure.
What is happening, Flash? We're on the same page far too often. We should disagree about something.
Yeah, we should disagree about something.
Do we want to revisit the topic of Renee?
Well, I'm not as far into the disdain for him as you are. I agreed with a lot of it. I just was willing to hope he comes around, which he eventually finally does. But yeah. All right, let's continue. You can take this next email. You get to read Kate for our finale.
All right. Well, I am going to steal Kate's feedback because I would love to read this one more time. She writes in to say, "Hey guys, fair warning. This is a 99% I love Felicity Smoke feedback because I love Felicity Smoke." Right there with you, Kate. She says, "For me, I watch TV shows and movies and read books for the characters. I like to read about other people and watch their characters develop. And my favorite characters are the ones that I relate to. And boy, do I relate to Felicity. The only fictional character that I relate to any more than Felicity is Elizabeth Bennet of Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice. And to be honest, I think Felicity's story is surprisingly similar to Elizabeth, and that Felicity is accidentally one of the best modern adaptations of Pride and Prejudice's love story. But I better get off the soapbox before I write a 200-page thesis on the similarities and parallels between the two stories." She goes on to say, "I love how loyal Felicity is. I admire her generous, forgiving heart. She always wants to see the best in others, but she is not naive and she refuses to be taken advantage of. She is brave, kind, and strong. She is brilliant, and that is far from her most powerful quality. It is how her heart works and how her mind is to save others. I could go on for hours about how much I love her. I could do a scene-by-scene breakdown about why I think she's an amazing character that is so richly developed. I think she is wonderful, and I'm so grateful that Emily Bett Rickards brought so much to life in her character. For Arrow in general, I love the beautiful hero's journey that they've sculpted for Oliver. I love that they tried their best to create real, believable, mature relationships between the characters. And I'm specifically thinking of OTA and how they were a team so tightly wound that Diggle was a brother to both Oliver and Felicity. And even through the tumbles and the mistakes along the way, they were a family. I will always be amazed at the power that Felicity had. It was so stunning how they transitioned the obvious plan A couple out and ushered in an interesting and wonderful relationship in Felicity. Arrow will always be one of my favorite TV shows. It created and explored exciting characters and relationships. I hope an equally powerful magic can be captured in the spinoff. Kate.
Yeah, you can't argue with her feelings towards Felicity. She has been the center of a lot of what's going on in Arrow, and a lot of people, you could argue that she's the glue that held so much of it together.
Absolutely. She was the character who, from the beginning, was always the one turning on the lights. And yeah. She was the character that could usher Oliver along his hero journey between life and death and back and forth. And they were so brilliant about the way they did that, that even when the show had its missteps and its moments where we're like, wait, can we take that back? And we can't. She always was there to kind of glue it all together and to be the hero whisperer. And I fully agree with Kate.
And it's so funny that this was never planned for her. She was originally only signed on to guest appear, I think, once or twice very early on. And the very first scene, which someone already mentioned, when Oliver first brings her the laptop with the bullet in it, at that first moment we see, she struck gold right there and then in her first few delivery of lines. And we all fell in love with her instantly. And it's that moment as well that the producers thought, whoa, okay, we've got something here. We better write this character in a little more fully and see where we go with it. That's the magic of Emily Bett Rickards. She's fantastic, and I hope one day I get to meet her.
Absolutely. She is just such a light. And that scene is the first scene where Oliver smiles in the show.
Yes.
And that is what struck gold, is that we could finally believe that this hero who went through hell could also go all the way to the other side and smile. And it was just beautiful. I love that part of the journey.
Well, thank you, Kate, for being here with us to bid farewell to Felicity and the rest of the show. I'm glad you've had some of the best emails we've ever gotten. So we totally appreciate you sending those in all the time. Mm-hmm. Next up is our friend Kerry Johnson, and he says, for me, Stephen Amell has had a bigger impact than the actual show itself. His passion for the show and dedication to the character is at a level that surpasses any level of fanaticism by those who watch it. So when you realize how much he cares about the character and the show, you can't help but feel it, and that comes through the screen. Most importantly, he's used his platform to support incredible causes and people who are doing great things. Finally, his legacy carries on through a series of other superhero shows. I don't know that anyone else has had such an impact on a genre and network. It's groundbreaking. That legacy is what Arrow means to me, and Amell was the perfect person to carry that burden. Here's to a well-deserved send-off for Steven. And that's from Kerry. Yeah, and I am so glad he sent that in. That just an email solely focused on Stephen Amell and what he has brought to this universe and this show. So much of it is focused on him or centered around him. So much is because of him. Stephen Amell was the one who pulled every string possible to get Constantine back into this universe. He's the one who has brought in so many guest appearances. He's the one who steered the ship in certain directions. And he does so much for that show. He appreciates his crew as if they're just regular people, his equals. He doesn't ever put himself above them. He is a rare breed of an actor. And like you said, the causes that he supports, I mean, he's got the the FU cancer thing that he does for his mom. He's also got his wine company that he's doing now, and they do a lot of supportive stuff. I bought one of his shirts, the campaign he had when he created the word, sincerely. And it's a word that he actually went out and campaigned to get input into the dictionary as a legit word. So he sold shirts for that with the meaning of the word on the shirt. And it's one of my favorite shirts because it's and I use that word. It's become part of my vocabulary. So yeah, Stephen Amell, I've gotten to meet him a couple times. He's an amazing human being. That's where we got our intro recording from him, is from me asking him, can you do this for a podcast? And he's like, yeah, sure. What do you want me to say? And that's what he came out. You hear it at the beginning of all of our podcasts. He did that, his choice, because every other actor that I have ever asked, I've tried to get it for a Legends show. I've tried to get it for other podcasts just for fun. And they've all turned me down saying their agent won't let them do it. It's not part of the contract, yada, yada, yada. Stephen didn't care. He shoved everyone aside and said, yeah, of course, man, I'll do that for you. That's the kind of guy he is.
Yeah, it's... he has been on quite a journey through the show as well. I know you shared recently in our Arrow Squad Facebook group an interview that he did recently about his journey. And I remember in the early days, because, you know, social media has undergone quite a change in these last 8 years. And in the early days of the show, and I mean back in season one, he was always trying to do new innovative things with his social media. He would do sort of a social media reset about every 6 to 12 months, where he would purge all accounts and restart them, sometimes on a new platform or under a new name. He's changed, you know, social media handles, and he has always been actively trying to find new and innovative ways to connect with fans.
Yeah.
I remember in 2015, I was at a convention that he was at, and I was sat near the front row, I suppose, for a panel. And he was making the claim that he could remember every line he ever learned, which was an impressive claim at the time. I don't know if it still holds. It would have been back in season 2 or 3, but he wanted to prove it. So he said, who knows this show well? Raise your hand. I need you to quiz me. So I raised my hand and he has me stand up in the middle of this packed out, quite large con and quiz him on shows that lines that he had completed in different scenes. I would list a scene or what happened. So I would say something like, your character had a gray blanket and you shook hands with Felicity. And he immediately would just say what scene it was from. And it was incredible. But that was something that even just in person, you know, that's a new innovative way to connect with fans. And he certainly carried that over into more technologically advanced ways with things that he's done with Facebook and podcasts and stuff in the last few years. But I still remember that moment where I'd been to tons of panels over the years. We all have, and actors will do cool things, but they don't just have a fan stand up and quiz them on something. And that was such a special moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't even imagine. I mean, you got to have a one-on-one moment with him in front of all those people. So that is definitely something special to remember. And like you said, just the videos that he does on Facebook, when he just turns it on, he goes, hey guys, so I'm sitting in my trailer and, you know, I just felt like, and he just sits there and has a conversation with the fans, and he just is Stephen Amell. He swears, he complains, he gripes, he shares what he's interested in. Like he just sits there and talks to us. And I would argue with anyone to try to find an actor that does it any better than he does. There's not many of them that do that type of fan interaction where they treat the actor tries to bring you up to his level and just treat you like a equal human being, because he knows how important the fandom is.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely. Yeah, he's a fantastic guy for sure. So if you guys ever have a chance to go to a Comic-Con, even if you don't care about Comic-Cons, don't want to be part of all that nerdery goodness, you know, whatever it is. If Stephen Amell is there, do yourself a favor. If you're a fan of Arrow, go meet him and just have that moment, because you know, we don't know how many more he's going to do now after once Arrow is done. So, yeah. All right. We've got one final one here, and we decided to save it for the end because this is one of the co-hosts that started it all. He began Arrow Squad. His name is Kevin, otherwise known as Podcast Overlord. And we thought it'd just be very suitable that he gets to take us out into the sunset with his voicemail to us as to what Arrow and Arrow Squad meant to him. So let's hear what he had to say.
Hello, everyone. It's Kevin, aka Podcast Overlord, for those of you who've been around for many years. I just wanted to be sure to get a message in for Martin and Cammy as far as finishing things up here for the show and the podcast. You know, I had such a great time doing the podcast for several years with Brian and have enjoyed the show as well. So it's been really been something, you know, as far as quite the journey for both of them, both the podcast and the community and the show as well. You know, it's something I don't read many comic books, so I didn't have any of the background there. So I really appreciated how much the community was willing to accept Brian and I, even though we didn't have some of that background that a lot of folks like to see. So it's been great seeing that develop over the years. And certainly had a blast doing all of the podcasts and watching the show and meeting many of you at Dragon Con and other spots there. And it meant so much to me personally, you know, when Brian and I were going away from the podcast to be able to have Martin and Cammy step in to do it. You know, Martin was there from very, very early on, maybe even Ep 1 with his feedback and, you know, being able to see him grow into it and start to do the podcast and then meeting Cammy at Dragon Con at an Arrow panel. You know, seeing her light up out in the audience when I started talking about how much I loved Felicity and then being able to, you know, talk to each other and have her on the podcast and then join to do it. You know, that's part of why I love fandom and many of these different things I get involved in is just seeing folks be able to share their passion. So thank you to all of you who've been around and remember us doing it. Certainly had a blast and have certainly been enjoying this final season of the show to kind of see you wrap everything up here. So appreciate all of you and all of your comments. Looking forward to, you know, my regular at Dragon Con. So hoping to see many of you there and I hope you all take care.
I got emotional listening to that as well. I cannot tell you how important that moment was, what he's describing, seeing him at Dragon Con being so positive and full of knowledge and happiness, talking about Felicity and Oliver and Felicity and OTA. And it was back during a season where there was a lot of negativity. And I can tell you, Kevin was up there with others reviewing the show who did not love the show, and his love just absolutely shone through. And he's right. I just lit up, and I am so grateful that he pulled me out of the crowd, talked to me afterwards, and had me on the podcast, and they had a special Felicity episode. And I'm grateful to Brian as well to just let some random person he's never met before come on and talk about how much I loved Arrow. And I can't say thank you to them both enough, and to you, Martin, as well. I remember you were a regular at that time. They knew you well by the time I was joining, and they were always so excited to get your feedback, and they trusted you implicitly to carry the show alongside me as well when they had to go their separate ways. So that was such an incredible moment looking back.
Yeah. Yeah. And it sounds like you're almost leading into your cherished moments that about what all of this meant to us as well. It's so hard to not get into it. And I want to save a few of the moments, but I do want to respond to Kevin here because his voice, along with Brian's, were the first two podcasting voices I ever heard. And I found Arrow Squad because I was looking for Arrow related stuff online. Arrow started. I loved it. I said, I want to find something more about the show. I'm going to look and see what's going on. And I saw this thing called TV Talk. What TV Talk? What's that? And I saw the Arrow Squad logo. I said, oh, Arrow. Okay, cool. Clicked on it, started playing an episode. What is this? What? I didn't even know what a podcast was at that point. So I was a crash course in podcasting. I hear Kevin and Brian's voices and they're so excited about the show. And it was It was like one of those moments where the door opens and it's a beaming, shining light on the other side and you hear the angels, la, you know, like there's, you know, other people that love Arrow. Cause like some of our listeners have said, nobody around me here in my normal life likes that show or even watches comic book TV shows. And it's like, oh, I found people that love the show as much as I do. And they're able to talk about it. And then they ask for feedback. I sent it in and they played it on the next show. And that to me was the moment that the point where I felt like I reached a new level of entertainment because they played my feedback on a show. And to me, they're like celebrities. Podcast hosts are kind of like minor celebrities. They're online. They're speaking to the world. I have no idea how relatively big they truly are in real life. I have no idea, but they felt like some type of celebrity to me. They're playing my feedback and then they're responding to it. So I felt like they were talking to me and, you know, that friendship just developed. Like Kevin had said, I sent in feedback every single week alongside X-Force 11, alongside Jess, and they constantly played it. And the relationships with those guys just developed from there. And I owe it all to those two guys. And I'll say a lot more about that, but you know, it felt so good to hear his voice in this feedback here, because that just brought back all those emotions, all those feelings, that history. 8 years ago, I started listening to those two, and to hear his voice again, one final time on Arrow Squad, I can't think of a better way to wrap this up.
Absolutely. I could not say it any better myself. And thank you, Kevin, for sending that in on such short notice. It would not be a send-off show without you.
Exactly. Now, before me and Cammy get to what we feel about all of this, I did have a couple more clips I wanted to add in, which I thought would be just kind of fun. Another farewell, since we are saying goodbye to everyone. There's been a lot of talk about Slade, and I wanted to just get his voice on our podcast one last time, because we have no idea if he's going to be there in the finale episode. So I just want to hear his voice one more time. And this is the clip when he and Oliver actually say goodbye to each other when he goes off to search for his sons.
Don't blame yourself, Slade. It doesn't help.
You know why I do. Never give up on family. That's what you told me. It's time for you to go home.
Where will you go?
I'm gonna keep searching for my son. Both of them. I can't give up.
If you ever need my help again, you don't hesitate to ask.
You have your own son to protect. I'm not gonna put that at risk again. You've seen what can happen. Thank you, kid.
Ah, his voice. It's so iconic.
Yes, it is.
And the music, as we continually have touched on all these years, the music that these Arrow composers, it drives the stake home right through your heart every single time.
Absolutely. That was one of a beginning of many farewells that would come to air on Arrow.
Yes. And one more that I want to play here, second to one more. We haven't heard from Thea yet. And I have a clip here from Thea when she originally left the show. It was also a very powerful moment when she's saying goodbye to everybody on the street there, and her and Ollie have to embrace. It's emotional. So have those tissues with you. Here's yet another farewell.
Last night, Ollie and I were talking, and we were talking about how when, you know, he becomes the Green Arrow, he feels complete. And I was thinking that maybe that's because when he puts that hood on, he gets to right our father's wrongs. And maybe this could be my calling. This could be what I've been looking for.
So you've made up your mind. You know what?
So have I. I'm gonna go with you.
What? No, you don't need to do
yes,
that.
Yes, I do. I told you, it doesn't matter where we go, as long as we go together.
God, how did I get to be so lucky?
I think it has something to do with the stolen purse.
just be careful, all right? And if you need anything,
if you don't need anything, just call me. Keep her safe.
You know I will.
You're back into this, Nyssa. That carries with it a certain responsibility.
She is your sister and the daughter of Malcolm Merlyn. She's less in need of protection than you think. This is a Horcher's dagger. In the League of Assassins, it symbolizes the cutting of marital bonds. I hereby annul our marriage.
Nyssa, as wedding gifts go, this isn't half bad.
Be well, Oliver.
Well? Seth.
Thanks for clearing a few things up for me.
Of course. One more piece of advice?
Sure.
If you're gonna wear the hood, you shouldn't string John along it anymore.
Thought I was the one who gave the wise sibling advice.
Nope. That has never been the case.
I'm gonna miss you so much.
You'll be with me the whole time.
Oh, I'm crushed.
What a goodbye.
And you know, I totally forgot that Rory was in there and Nyssa, two fan favorites. I'm so glad we got to hear their voices one last time as well.
Completely agree. I miss Nyssa every episode on the show.
Okay, I have one last farewell clip, guys. I hope you guys are enjoying these. I can't think of a better way to sign off Arrow Squad than to be playing some of these wonderful farewell clips. This one kind of is good for the section we just finished. We just finished listening to all of our feedbackers, some new, some old, some that have been with us the whole way. This is the OTA's farewell to the Arrow Cave, and I think it's a good way to sign off our farewell to everybody that's been part of us, because we're all part of a team here, and we've all been in that Arrow Cave. We all felt like the extra member that's just in the background. So I think ending our feedback section with this clip is a great way before me and Cammy sign off.
I agree. This is actually the clip that I had as my third favorite moment above that we had saved here till the end. So I'm happy for this to be our final little thought.
You know, the spirit of this place will live on long after we're gone. You inspire so many people. They will carry on your legacy.
It sounds like a cycle for good.
Far better than that. A cycle of heroes. They will fight to defend this city with every fiber of their being.
Anyone ever told you you always know exactly what to say?
I happen to. Let's get you to your new home.
Goodbye, old friend.
Oh, doesn't that make you want to go back and rewatch everything again just to get to that moment?
Yes, it does. And that sound that you hear there at the end is Felicity turning off the lights to the Arrow Cave, which is such a nice closing, as she was, of course, the first one to turn on the lights, and her whole motif throughout the series was turning on the lights. So that is what made this such a fitting end for both Martin and I.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Now it is time for me and Cammy to share our final thoughts, to say goodbye to Arrow and to say goodbye to Arrow Squad. Would you like to start, Cammy, or would you like me to go first?
Take it away, Flash.
Okay. I don't even have notes written for this. This is all coming straight from the heart and straight from how I'm feeling right now after listening to everybody send in their wonderful feedback and listening to our sound clips and everything. I am so full of emotion right now, guys. I don't know if you can hear the quivering in my voice, but every once in a while, I'm just about to lose it and I got to compose myself. First off, some of the things I led into with responding to the former co-hosts, Kevin and Brian, it's because of them that I'm even here. I found them when I was looking up Arrow stuff. I started listening. I started sending feedback every week. They made me part of the show. They invited me to come meet them down in Atlanta. I did that. That moment, you guys have heard this story before. Brian was doing a live show and he asked me and Jess, who I just met, to take over the show for a few minutes while him and Emily, which we have forgotten to mention, Miss Ice, she was also a former host of Arrow Squad. The two of them were sitting there and they said, Jess and Martin, you guys take over the show while we look something up. And I said, okay, you know, let's do it. And me and Jess talked for like 20 minutes on Arrow Squad. We took over the show. And that was the moment that we both decided this is something we want to do. And we talked to each other after that, said, what can we do? Well, there's no podcast for Legends of Tomorrow yet, and that show is about to launch its premiere. Let's do that. And the rest is history. And, you know, 5 years later, I've been hosting Arrow Squad with you, Cammy. Well, not for 5 years, but I've been podcasting for 5 years. And then we took over Arrow Squad here because Brian and Kevin, due to life circumstances, needed to say goodbye to the show. And we didn't want it to die. They had such a community built up, such a presence online, and there wasn't anything else like it. I've tried other Arrow podcasts and they don't even come close to what this show was doing at that point. I didn't want to let that die. So we said, let us take over the show. Let us continue. And they graciously did. And it's meant so much to me to be able to come in and bring in all the feedback and continue this journey with our fans, and going from frequent feedbacker to host of the show with you, Cammy, and continuing the legacy and then building upon it and making it ours and, you know, improving it and making little changes so that it felt like our show and it felt like we were taking this whole podcast forward into whatever sunset it brings us. It's meant so much to me to be able to do that. And then for the community, all of you feedbackers, everything that you guys sent to us over the years and especially today, listening to those words of encouragement and support and thankfulness towards us, it hits home deeper than I can ever express to you guys. It means so much to me that you would accept me as co-leader of this podcast and you would stick with us all the way through to the end. I cannot thank you guys enough. That's about as much as I can say about Arrow Squad. Now, the TV show Arrow itself, same thing. It's kind of funny. I was a huge fan of Smallville, and they had a character on there, the Green Arrow. Oliver Queen was on there, and he was a super hot blonde guy, full of money, wearing the tight green leather, and he was a huge fan favorite character of that show. And when Smallville got shut down and news started rumbling about an Arrow show coming out, everybody thought it was going to be him, that actor, that character from Smallville, continuing his Green Arrow. And then when Arrow came out and we and we heard that the casting hired Stephen Amell and it was going to be a completely different show. I was like, what? Okay. I guess I'll give it a try. And from the very first moment, I was hooked. I fell in love with Oliver, the character, and then they introduced Felicity, and I loved Laurel, and I loved Thea and Moira, all of this. The first season had such amazing strength in its characters right away. I was hooked, and I've already talked about how good season two was. I've already talked about all my favorite moments. There's so many of them that I cannot remember right now. I have not been so connected to a show in a long, long time. There's maybe a handful in my entire life of shows that have drawn me in so deeply where I feel like an extra character on the show. You hear me say that so many times. I feel like an extra character on the show. I feel like I'm part of the team. That's what Arrow has done for me. And I have felt the highs. I've felt the lows. Just listening to our clips tonight, I am legitimately crying because it means so much to me. I'm so connected to these characters. It's going to be so hard to say goodbye to Oliver and all these guys. I know it's continuing on with Green Arrow and the Canaries, but from what we've seen already, it's going to be a very different show. So I still feel like we are saying goodbye today and next week to Arrow, to Oliver, to his legacy. It's going to be so, so hard, but I'm just so glad that I'm here with you, Cammy. I want to thank you personally right here, right now, before we get to our finale, for being with me on this journey, co-hosting the show. I really enjoy our chemistry that we've developed. We work very well together, and I'm glad that I'm not going to be alone in sending the show off to the sunset. So thank you to everybody. Thank you, Cammy. Thank you, Arrow producers, if any of them are even listening. All of you actors, Stephen Amell, Emily, David Ramsey, everybody, thank you so much for what Arrow has given to me.
Martin, you're melting my cold villainous heart. That was so well said. I want to echo everything you've said. I will, just as a point of transition here, and just as a note, throughout today's podcast, you may have noticed this sort of unintentional difference in the audio, in that you're hearing possibly some background noises from us. And I think while that was kind of frustrating for us at first, there were some tech issues today. I hope that was metaphorical to this week's podcast, that we are kind of opening up a little bit more. You're getting to see a little bit more into our lives. You're getting to see a little bit more into what happened behind the scenes to make Arrow Squad come to be. So as you're hearing my grandfather clock chiming in the background, or you may have heard, you know, the sound of a chair moving or something, since our audio was a little bit different experience today, I hope you're feeling more like you were in the room behind the scenes with us, hearing the real unfiltered Arrow Squad today. And you're definitely hearing a few sniffles, I think, from both Martin and I as we are saying goodbye to this show. I already kind of started to get into my final thoughts earlier, which is why I tossed the baton to Flash and made him carry the big heroic summative piece there. I'll only add that you referenced Smallville, Martin, and that came off throughout the show many times, the parallels to it, certainly here towards the end, we had some tie-ins to it. And in doing so, there was frequently a parallel drawn, as you know, between Chloe Sullivan and Felicity Smoke. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They are very similar characters and they have similar fates, and that they end up with a Green Arrow. But I remember, and you may also too, back in season one, the writer's room mentioned how they drew a lot of their inspiration in the pacing and the time sensitivity and the urgency of this show that you see right off the gate in season one, as inspiration from another show that started in fall 2001, in addition to Smallville, which was 24. And on 24, you had another character named Chloe, who was also quite similar to Felicity Smoke and Chloe Sullivan. In fact, Felicity Smoke's first look when she shows up on Arrow is pretty much a direct replication of Chloe's first look on 24.
Right.
And I grew up watching her Chloe. So that was what drew me to Felicity when this first started, as I, like Kevin, did not really grow up watching a lot of comic book and superhero shows. But this character who was complex and interesting and nerdy, and something that I think, while not as tied to the comics as the rest of the other characters, was reflective of a comic book reader. She was nerdy. She was passionate about things. She knew all the intricate details of what made all the other superheroes and villains tick. And I, like Kate earlier, my wrap-up for this show is so closely tied to my wrap-up with Felicity, as my first appearance on Arrow Squad was on a Felicity Smoke special episode that they did. And I joined Kevin and Brian on that and talked about how much I love this, and tons of other Arrow Squad members, including Martin, I think, joined with their thoughts on what this character meant to them. And that is a unique contribution that this show had, in that she, as a character, did not exist before Arrow. Likewise, Diggle did not exist in the same way before Arrow. And likewise, a lot of these spinoffs that you're mentioning. So Martin leads the Legends review podcast. That didn't exist before Arrow. The Flash CW show didn't. It spawned so many new things, and it spawned so many new friendships. It created this entire universe within the CW DC TV universe, but it created also this entire connection of us GSM podcasters and those of us who meet up at conventions or meet up for watch parties or chat online. And it goes from talking about superheroes to also becoming a really personal friendship. And that has meant so much to me. I know, Flash, you've gone through lots of life changes over the course of the show, as have I, and as have our listeners. And we've got to celebrate, in addition to all of these moments of hero-y goodness, or in my case, villainy goodness, we've also got to celebrate each other as someone gets a new job or has a family change or gets married or moves or whatever. It's so exciting to us to get to share each other's real life as well. And yeah, I think you've certainly heard a bit of real life throughout this podcast today.
Yeah, I love how you, like some of our feedbackers, highlighted how much Arrow has spawned, whether it's new TV shows, new characters, new friendships, new podcasts. That's something that Jess really touched upon. And we can't thank Arrow enough for all that it's brought us. And I think especially on top of all of that is the friendships and the new connections that we have because of a TV show. Like, don't ever let anyone put you down because you love a TV show so much. You tell them the story about Arrow and what it has done for your life, because I know what it's done for me and what it's changed. It's brought some of the best people in my life to me. And I can't, I like, Arrow's never going to know that, but I still say thanks because I owe it to Arrow for what it's done for me.
Mm-hmm. Well said.
Okay, well, we are going to end this podcast a little differently than we usually do. I have one final clip to play where you're not going to hear our usual outro music. You're not going to hear our usual disclaimer. We're going to play this last clip because this last clip is basically the team saying farewell to each other. And I can't think of a better clip to wrap everything up than it's like us saying goodbye. It's like saying goodbye to the show, to our feedbackers. It's like we're all saying goodbye to each other. That's what this clip says. You have anything else you want to add, Cammy, before I play that?
I don't. Take it away.
Let's say this one thing, that this is not the actual end you're going to hear from us. We do have the finale episode coming right after this, so we'll talk to you then. This is our goodbyes to Arrow and to Arrow Squad. Flash is signing off.
And this is Cammy. Goodbye.
And then there were six.
Actually, five. I can't stay.
You want to catch up with Theo?
There's a lot I still have to figure out. I killed two innocent people. I have to find a way to atone for that.
Well, since we're on the subject of goodbyes, we have an announcement, too.
Mm-hmm. We're stepping back.
We're leaving Star City.
Not forever, but for now.
You just saved a city. You don't want to take a victory lap?
I didn't do anything. Our team did.
The fact that the city is safe is the reason why we can leave.
I've spent a long time thinking about my legacy as the Green Arrow. I always hoped it would be saving the city. But now I know that my greatest legacy, this team. I started this mission alone. I was certain that I would end it alone. But the truth of the matter is that every bit of success that I have had along the way is because of all of you. The city is safe because of your courage, your compassion, your selflessness, your loyalty.
Courage, compassion, selflessness, loyalty. All over the South, like the four pillars of heroism to me.
We should find a way to remember them, to symbolize we will all be there for each other, always, no matter what.
Ooh, like a signal. You know, one of us is in trouble, we'll all come running.
Including you, Roy.
We should just call it the Mark of Four, right?
It's brilliant.
Man, I really hope this isn't the last time we're all in this bunker together.
Yeah. It does feel like the end of an era.
Okay, well, let's just try to think of it as the beginning of a new one.